Welcome to the second episode of Candid Christian Convos. Today I'm talking about surviving the funk. The funk is what I call the headspace I get into where I'm asking God a lot of questions and it doesn't really feel like he's answering them. Some people call this the silent seasons or the wilderness, or there are many names for it, but I call it the funk. It kind of feels like there's a dark cloud over my head, like those cartoons. I found that it tends to be the result of whether it's unanswered prayers or just existential crises, questions that I think stem from me trying to grasp an infinite God with my finite brain. And I wanted to talk about this because I feel like it's a season that every Christian at one point or the other goes through in their lives. If you are engaging, I think, with your faith journey enough, there will come a point where you have questions. So I just wanted to talk about a couple of things that helped me get through the funk. It has taken me a while to not feel like, oh my gosh, this is the end, I'm an unbeliever, like, because I have these questions. And I've just learned to understand it as a season, which means it will pass. So in this season, I feel very apathetic. I feel very cold towards God and the things of God. I just don't understand. And I feel like a lot of Christians at this crossroads either go deeper into their walk with God or they turn away, because it all boils down to the question of how can a good God allow these bad things or hard things to happen to me? Why are my prayers not being answered? If God loves me, why would he allow this to happen to me? Why isn't he saving me from this? Why isn't he giving me this thing that I'm asking for? And I think when we think about it, it comes down to a lack of trust and a lack of knowledge about God. I recently came out of a season like this and I was really disappointed in myself because I was like, Mariwa, you know God too much. You've known him for too long for you to be having such basic, like, questions and, like, this kind of identity crisis of this magnitude this far in your walk with him. But I know that that was the voice of the devil, because Jesus doesn't condemn me. He doesn't condemn you. Only the accuser does that, and that's the devil. So once I was able to get past that hurdle of my own thoughts kind of just like attacking me, I was able to press in, and these things that I'm about to talk about helped me, I think, get through to the other side of the season. The first thing is, when I'm in these seasons, I typically can't do anything except listen to worship or sing worship. I don't have the words to pray. I'm spiritually, just emotionally drained. I'm burnt out. And so in those seasons, what I do is I sing my soul into submission. So worship music has such powerful lyrics. Most of them are based on scripture, based on the Psalms. So in a way, it is praying. It is communicating with God. And that is one of, if not the most important thing when you are in this specific season I'm speaking about, because what the devil wants is for you to be alienated from God. Because when he can create distance and space between you and God, he has all the more room to feed you with lies. So the first thing I learned is that I needed, by God's grace, to maintain that connection with him. I needed to fight for that connection with everything in my body. And so singing my soul into submission is one of the ways I did that. I would sing things like, Jesus, you are good to me. You are for me, not against me. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Even if I didn't feel those things, because one thing these seasons have taught me is that my feelings are not the boss of me. So singing my soul into submission is a way of showing my body that it is not my master. I am a spirit with a soul inside of a body. My body does not get to dictate what is and what isn't true about God. As valid as those feelings might be in the moment, they are not the ultimate truth. There is a higher truth. So singing my soul into submission is a way of reminding myself of the higher truth. The next thing I did is something that God actually told me to do in this last season. And he asked me to go through the Bible and look up specific names about him. and just journal what those names mean to me and how they are relevant to my life and my personal situation. So it's all good and well for us to know that Jehovah Nissi is one of his names, Jehovah Rapha is one of his names. But what does it mean that your God is Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals? And so the one that particularly struck a chord with me was Jehovah Sabaoth, and that means the Lord of hosts. And what I wrote in my journal is the Lord of hosts refers to the one who commands angelic armies of heaven and the armies of Israel. This means that I serve and pray to the God who all of heaven and earth answers to. It means he's able to command angels to fight for and protect me and cause me to find favor with both angels and men. So what this did was it gave me a perspective shift, because I think we can often suffer from over familiarity with God, the God that we serve in our minds is almost watered down. He's soft. He's many things. But I think when we are reminded or filled again with the awe and reverence of the sovereignty of the God that we serve, like, it humbles us and also just calms me down, at least. It gives me a perspective shift. It zooms me out from my problems to God, and it shifts my gaze. And I think that always removes worry from my heart. When I'm focusing on my problems, my worries increase. But when I turn my gaze onto God and just revel in his magnitude, there's just something, my problems just seem so small in comparison to how big God is. The third thing is gratitude. It's really hard to stay down when you are journaling or telling someone the things that you are grateful for. It's also very hard to do in the moment, because what the devil wants for you is to take your faith in God, to make you believe that God is not for you. He has never done anything for you. So it is really a fight for your faith to stir up gratitude in yourself in those seasons. And I will be honest and say it's something that I really struggled with. I was like that spoiled child that's just like, God, you haven't ever, like, I just don't have any evidence of your goodness towards me. And I repented for that, and I apologized to God, but I knew that he didn't condemn me for my unbelief in that situation. So I was like, God, I believe, ultimately I know in my head, but help my unbelief. So I challenged myself to write something that I was grateful for, even if it was just one thing. Even if it was just, I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to not have COVID. I'm grateful to have a roof over my head. Stirring up that gratitude, reminding myself of God's faithfulness in the past and in the seemingly mundane ways in the present, tends to soften my heart. And when I was talking to my mom about the season that I was in, she was like, you know, it's funny, we are so focused on the things that God, the prayers God doesn't answer, that we never stop to think about what about all the things that he has given us that we never even asked for. So again, that just feeds into just be awareness, drawing yourself and your mind to just be more conscious of the things that we take for granted, that are blessings, things that we might have even prayed for in a season prior. The next thing is something that a revelation that I actually had again in this season that just passed. And I spoke about this a bit on an IGTV video on Candid Christian Converse Instagram. It was how the Psalms taught me that it was okay for me to lament. David was a man after God's own heart, and the Psalms are full of his lament, his cries out to God. And that is, I think, one of the purposes of the Psalms, to teach us how to grieve, to teach us how to cry out to God, because it's something that God welcomes. It's not something that he chastises us for. But what I didn't learn in that season, like, I learned what the Psalms were for and why God had brought me to them in that season. This was like a year ago or so. What I only just learned is that there is a difference between lamenting and complaining. Whoa, yes. Mind blown. I can say to a friend, like, I'm just so annoyed that God hasn't done this thing for me. And I can say the same thing to God, like, God, I'm just really upset that you haven't done this for me. A lament can contain a complaint, but the essential difference is in who it's directed at. By directing my lament towards God, I'm able to speak to the person who actually can give me answers and who can give me comfort. It enables that consistent flow of communication to happen. And it's something that you do in faith that God hears you, in faith that God cares about what you're saying. And I don't know, I think something about just pouring it all out helps me feel honest in my relationship with God. I don't feel like I have to come and put on a performance for him or dance like a monkey for him to be satisfied or happy with me. I can come with my genuine questions, complaints, my fears, and lay them all out before him and trust that he hears me. Even if I don't get an answer in that moment, laments are often things you do over and over again. Look at the Psalms. Look at how many times David says the same thing. But it's something that we do in faith and something that with time, like a muscle, will strengthen and will ultimately be for the betterment of our relationship with God. The next thing I do, and this is not something that I only do in my seasons of struggle or in my wilderness or while I'm in the funk. It's one of those things that you plant before and then you get to reap when you actually need it. And that is just community. Because my friends in this past season were invaluable. They spoke life into me. They reminded me of things that God has done for me that I forgot about. Things that I was praying for that God did answer and I was overlooking. They prayed for me. They prophesied over me and called forth what the next season was going to be in my life and just really, really encouraged me. Like I said in the trailer, this Christian life was not supposed to be done alone or in isolation. And so I cannot stress enough how important Christian community is and how important it is for you to be able to be vulnerable and transparent with this community, because the community can't help you if you are not honest about your struggles. I have grown to have no shame in calling my friends or texting my friends if I don't feel like talking. And my friends will testify to this and I will just say, I'm not doing well. I'm not okay. I'm struggling. Can you please pray for me? And they are up to the task every single time. So yeah, get you some friends that will cover you and speak life into the darkness. The next thing I do is a heart check. And this is probably further down in the season when I have cried and I have spoken to God and I've worshipped and I'm seeing a bit more clearly, but I'm not quite out of the funk yet. And this is a heart check. And something that God convicted me of again in this last season, that one of the reasons I was struggling so much and was carrying so much heaviness in my heart was because I was projecting certain things onto him, things that I believed about him, that God, if you are good, you will do X for me. If you were kind, if you loved me, you would do X, or you wouldn't have allowed X to happen. But we fall into such a trap when we allow our own minds, our own hearts, in our limited understanding, to try to define who God is and to project these preconceived ideas of how he should fulfill or live up to his character. We are not God. We are actually just not him, quite frankly. So that is always going to be a failure. But if we go to his word and remind ourselves of the things he did promise us, then I think we can have more realistic expectations when we're praying about things. And again, going to the word, remind yourself that God is good. He is love. He says that he's working all things out for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. And I am called. So he's working all things together for my good. But when we make idols of our desires and then project those things onto God as a check mark of some kind of litmus test for him, we are always bound to end in disappointment. Like that is just, it's just doomed from the jump. So instead of projecting an identity that he never told us was true, the alternative is to go to the word and find out for ourselves what he has said about himself, what other people have said about him, and then using that as the yardstick versus what we have made up in our heads. And the last thing that I did was I prayed for a fresh revelation. I got to a point where I was like, God, you know what? I know you are good in my head. And I know if I sit down and I just take my eyes off of this situation for long enough, I will see that you have been good to me in the past as well. But right now, I don't want to look into the past. I don't want to have to look into the past. I don't want to have to listen to other people's testimonies. I don't want to have to listen to songs. I don't want to have to read about the Old Testament, how you were good to people in the Old Testament. I want a fresh revelation of your goodness today. I want a fresh revelation of the love that you have for me today. And I don't see, like, there is no reason why God wouldn't answer that kind of prayer, because it's coming from the depths of your heart, a yearning for intimacy with him. And I promise you that he will meet you there. The devil is so sneaky with the way he creeps up with this season, because let's say you're further along in your faith journey. He knows that there are certain lies that he cannot present to you. Like, he won't come and tell you God hates you, for instance, if you are well-versed in scripture about God loving you. But he can creep in with apathy, and it will just be slow over time. Like the way spring turns to summer, summer turns to autumn, autumn turns to winter, and you don't realize it until you are looking around at the snow. That can often happen to our hearts, where we just wake up one day and we're like, wow, when did this apathy happen? And it happens over time. So the devil is still trying to use the same lies that he used with Eve in the Garden of Eden. And it is questioning God's heart towards us. Did God really say, if God really loved you, if God was really this, wouldn't he do that? And I once heard Jackie Perry, when she was talking about spiritual warfare, she was like that the warfare is not between God and the devil. Jesus already said it was finished. The warfare is the devil trying to steal our faith. And so we need to guard our faith with everything in us. And so I'll go over the list of things again. And these are ways that I guard my faith in the seasons where I'm exhausted, emotionally, spiritually burnt out. I sing my soul into submission. I journal about the names of God as it relates to me and my situation. I try to have an attitude of gratitude. I am being conscious to lament instead of complain. I surround myself with godly community who can uplift me when I don't feel like walking. And then I have a heart check. What am I projecting or idolizing that is causing me to be so dissatisfied with my life or with God in this season? And lastly, I pray for a fresh revelation. So I hope all these things help you when you are in your next silent season or funk. And I pray that this is an episode that you revisit and you send to friends who are down, so that they know that there is a way out. And as much as the devil is trying to make it seem like your life is over and God hates you, I want to leave you with the reminder that God loves you so much that he literally sent his only son to die for you. No greater love exists than to lay down your life for someone. And Jesus did that for you. So he does love you, irrespective of what your situation is saying to you, irrespective of the lies the devil is trying to whisper in your ears. Jesus loves you.